I am chant prayers of Queen Kunti, prayers of pure devotion, recorded in the first canto, chapter 8 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada twice lectured on this series of verses, and he chanted them as twice means he gave a series of lectures on these verses, and he also recorded them, just the Sanskrit. So it seems that Srila Prabhupada is very fond of this. In the course of these prayers, Kunti Devi praises Krishna. She discusses his inconceivableness. She discusses various what different people say about why Krishna comes to this world. She prays to him for pure devotion, and she praises. She asks him not to leave. She praises the process of glorification of Krishna, all in beautiful, heartfelt language. Kuntyuvacha namasye purushang twadyam ishvarang prakrite param alakshyang sarvabhutanam antarbahiravastitam. Shrimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Maya javanika channam agyadhokshajam avyayam nalakshase murhadrisha nato natyadharo yatha. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyemahi striyah. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service under the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators, who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Namah Pankaja Nabhaya, Namah Pankaja Maline, Namah Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajanghaye. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Yata Hrishikesha Kalena Devaki Kangsena Rudha Tachirang Shucharpita Vimochita Hangcha Sahatmaja Vibho Twayayvanathena Mohur Vipadganat. O Hrishikesh, master of the senses and lord of lords, you have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanad Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Kritchrataha Mridhe Mridhe Neka Maharathastrato Dronyastratas Chasmahare Bhirakshitaha. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought, and now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. Vipada santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apuna bhava darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death. Births and deaths, yeah. Who dares to pray like that? Give me danger, give me difficulty. Who dares, they can be free from birth and death. Otherwise, generally people pray for, give me all comfort and luxury, power, prestige. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir Edhamana Madha Puman Naivarhatya Bhita Tungvai Twama Kinchana Gocharam. My lord, your lordship can easily be approached. Easy to approach Krishna. But, just one condition, only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. My obeisances are unto you who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and are master of the monists. Manye tvang kalamishanam anadhi nidhanam vibhum samang charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmitha kalihi. My lord, I consider your lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. Naveda kaschit bhagavang shikirshitam Tave hamanasya nirnang virambanam Nayasya kaschit dayatosti karhichit Dveshyascha yasmin vishama matir nirnang. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya kartur atmanaha tiryandri shishu yadasu tadatyanta virdambanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend among animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. So now Kunti speaks about the appearance of Krishna in this world. She states it's bewildering, it's very difficult to understand. She gives some example of his bewildering activities. Bewildering because he's the Supreme Lord and he performs activities such as will be described in the next verse. Gopya dede twai kritagasi dhamatavad yate dasashru kalilanjana sambhamaksham vaktrang nini abhaya bhavanaya sthitasya samang vimohayati bhirapi yad bibheti. My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears which washed the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Then in a series of verses, Kunti discusses different things that different people say about why Krishna appears in this world. Kichidahura jangjatang punyashlokasya kirtaye yadov priyasyan bhavaye malayasye vachandanam. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Apare vasudevasya devakyang yachito bhagat ajastvamasya kshemaya vadhaya chatsuradvisham. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Bharavataranayanye bhuvonava evodadho sidantya bhuri bharena jatohyatma bhuvartitaha. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boated sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhihi shravana smarana harni shravana smarana harni. Ani karishaniti kechana. And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Shrinvanti gayanti grinantya bhikshnashaha smaranti nandanti tavehitang janaha ta eva pashyantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padambujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Apyadyanastrang svakrite hita prabho jihasasi svitsuhridonu jivinaha. yeshang nachan yad bhavata padam bhujat parayanang raja suyojitang hasam. O my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all the kings are at enmity with us? Kevayang nama rupabhyang yadubhi saha pandavaha bhavato darshanang yarhi hushikanang iveshituhu. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Neyang shobhishyate tatra yate daning gadadhara twatpadairankita bhati swalakshana vilakshitaihi. O Gadadhara, Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful, but when you leave it will no longer be so. Ime janapada svridha, ime janapada svridha, supakaushadhi virudha, vanadri nadyudanvanto, yedante tava vikshitahi. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. Ata vishvesha vishvatman vishvamurte swakeshume sneha pashamimang chindhi Dridhang Pandushu Vrishnishu. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Twaime nanya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit ratim udvahatad adha gangevaugham udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges River forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishni Vrishabhavani Drug Rajanya Vangshadahanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surarti Haravatara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So the Sanskrit is very beautiful, and Srila Prabhupada's translations are also very beautiful. Of course, they could be translated in various combinations of words, but Srila Prabhupada's are exceptionally poetic and beautiful. What do you think? So today, we're thinking about Krishna. We're supposed to think about Krishna every day. But today we should dedicate the whole day to hearing and chanting about Krishna. And some devotees we won't see much today because they'll be cooking for Krishna. And many unlimited services to do for Krishna. Why are we doing that? Well, Krishna means all attractive, right? So now I am going to ask all of you, what do you find attractive about Krishna? What specifically attracts you to Krishna? Krishna is attractive in every respect. His name, his forms, his form and forms, his qualities, his pastimes, and then we can get into more detail. There's his Lila Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, the four things about him which are particularly sweet. So what, any way to do that without the snip, snip, snip?
Sorry.
Is it possible to do it? You can pull it off, maybe? Yeah, okay. Don't mind. It's parampara. Srila Prabhupada also complained about it. So I'll indulge myself. Yeah. Okay. What attracts you about Krishna? What do you find attractive? Anyone like to say? Yes. And shooting up there.
Srila Prabhupada's love and devotion to Krishna is what makes me attracted to Krishna.
So it's a vicarious attraction via Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's attraction to Krishna is so great that it communicates to the hearts of unlimited devotees and inspires in them attraction to Krishna. Jai, great answer. Thank you very much. And isn't it wonderful, Krishna's arrangement, that Prabhupada appears the day after Krishna? Krishna comes and then Prabhupada comes to preach about him. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You want to say more about that? You could probably talk about it for millions of lifetimes, right?
I'm amazed that I've been able to give up everything. You know, it's supposed to give up.
You're amazed that you've given up all the things that we're supposed to give up.
Yeah, and that I'm able to, you know, and that I wake up automatically.
You wake up automatically, early in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's Krishna's, how will we say, Krishna's mercy on you, that you're able to overcome all the things which are considered normal in Western life, but which are abnormal for devotees. So it's you're appreciating the mercy of Krishna in your life, by which you're able to be transformed. So that's very nice. Anyone? Anyone else? Yeah, please tell me.
I like his feature of Bhava Grahi Janardana.
You're attracted to Krishna's feature of Bhava Grahi Janardana. We just read that yesterday. Yeah.
He's not after the actual offering, but the love and devotion.
Yeah. Bhavagrahi Janada means Krishna accepts the mood of the devotee rather than the exact offering itself. So that is particularly attractive to you. Yeah, you appreciate that you can offer flowers grown in your garden, and you appreciate Krishna reciprocates. He's pleased. He likes that. Krishna likes flowers. Krishna likes many things. But one thing among the things that he particularly likes are flowers. On Krishna's birthday, we can offer him gold and jewels, many precious items. Probably, I don't think that'll happen here, because Krishna, we just read, akinchana gochara. Krishna is akinchana gochara. He's available to those who don't have anything in this world. So generally, Krishna's devotees are not very wealthy. Some in history we see, so many kings, Yudhishthira, so many kings, Parikshit, Ambarish, but Krishna says, yes, yaham anugrihnami harishe tadhanang shanai, who I show my mercy to, I take away all their wealth, gradually. Watch out. Patels. They like to accumulate wealth. That's their name. Oh, we have three Patels here in a row. No, you're not a Patel. You're a shah. Where's same business, making money? So Krishna says, I take it all away. Latest at the time of death. That mrityu sarva harashchaham. So we may not have gold and jewels and all these things to offer. Although if you do have, not a bad idea. Lots of work to do on this building. But Krishna is very satisfied with flowers. He likes flowers. And you told me that one Mataji donates flowers for all the festivals. Who's that? Is she here now? She'll come, is it? She donated flowers? I see, yeah. That's Indian culture, one feature of Indian culture is flower culture, more than probably any country in the world. It's a whole business, growing flowers and bringing them into the cities. There's a whole caste, the Mali caste, they grow flowers, and because flowers are needed for puja, people do puja, and then if there's any festival, any celebration, can be political or whatever it is, there should be plenty of flowers. So there should be plenty of flowers. If you can grow, you have plenty of space, you need some gardeners, and you can grow all your flowers here. That's more pleasing to Krishna. If you purchase flowers, that's very nice, but if you grow them, and what satisfaction is there when you plan in advance, then you plant the seed or however you're growing the plant, then you watch it carefully, make sure no slugs are eating it or whatever, and then it's just nice, offer to Krishna. And so much satisfaction in that, more than purchasing. So you're very attracted to Krishna because he accepts the bhav of the devotee, the feeling of the devotee. Yeah, anyone?
Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enjoyed friendship with Arjuna, and he drove the chariot as well.
He drove the chariot of Arjuna, yeah. Even though he's the Supreme Lord, he makes himself as if not a very great person. He takes a subordinate position out of affection for his devotees. That just Kunti Devi was saying, that why Krishna's pastimes are vidambanam, bewildering. Why? Because gopyadade, what is that? Gopadade twai dhamasita. I'm not remembering. That he ran in fear. He was tied up by Yashoda and he ran in fear, although he's feared by fear personified. So he takes as if an inferior position. This is the whole sweetness of Krishna Leela. Not the whole, but it's a major factor, that even though he's the Supreme Lord, he takes a position as if he is inferior to his devotees. And actually he himself says, I am dependent on my devotees. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the very first verse, we hear that Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. He is Swarat, means he independently rules. He's independent. But later on, we find himself telling Durvasa Muni that Aham bhakta paradhino nahi aswatantra eva dvija sadhu bhir grasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta jana priyaha. He says that I am dependent, I am subordinate to my devotees. Paradhin means under the control of. Isn't it? Paradhin, under the control of others. Aham bhakta paradhin. I am, and to emphasize it, he says, I am not independent. The devotees have captured my heart. And so, even those who are dear to my devotees are dear to me. So Krishna, he shows that. He says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am God. Therefore, samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stina priyaha. I'm God, so I'm neutral to everyone. I'm equal to everyone. I don't favor anyone, I don't despise anyone, just neutral. But then he immediately apparently contradicts himself. Apart from being God, that ye bhajanti tu maam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham, those are my devotees. Well, I look after them especially. So, as God, he's neutral. As Krishna, he's partial to his devotees, which the demons, they criticize him for that, for being partial. But that is included as one of his major qualities. He's partial to his devotees. So, anyone else? Yeah, please.
It's initially as attractive, but I was still attracted by the same thing. It's the sense of relief and shelter
when we read Prabhupada's books, the sense of relief and shelter that you first had when you first read Prabhupada's books and still you're experiencing. Relief and shelter. Krishna gives us relief from the material world and shelter at his lotus feet. We're in this material world. Let us take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna and feel that relief even this one lifetime is bad enough, the battering we get. And to think we've had millions of lifetimes and then just come to Krishna. Ah, at last. As George Harrison wrote in that foreword to the Krishna book, everyone is looking for Krishna, but not everyone realizes it. So we're looking, 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 looking. Is it in this cigarette? Is this what I'm looking for? Is it in this girlfriend? Is it in this new job, new house? Where is that? Is it in this novel? Where is that satisfaction that we're looking for? After going many, many millions of lifetimes. Ah, Krishna. This is what here we were looking. This is what we're actually looking for. Krishna. Yeah, anyone else? Yeah.
Although he's a supreme personality of God, but still he played with his friend and sat at the shop and food with the friend.
Krishna, although he's the Supreme Lord, he plays with his friends and shares his food with them. Not only does he share his food, they sometimes steal it from him. You're not supposed to take anything before Krishna eats it, but Krishna's friends steal it. Yeah. So friendly, so nice. And sometimes Krishna, they're sitting all to take their food and someone's eating because they all have their own tiffin box from their own mother. Someone says, oh, this is really nice. Here, you taste it, Krishna. You can't do that. You can't eat something and then give the remnant to Krishna. You can't. I can't. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. It's not time yet for that. Prabhupada can do it. He said, my only ambition is to go to Goloka Vrindavan and steal Krishna's ladus. And so he didn't always wait. Once he was, he came in to the temple just when the offering and berry place, Radha Landanishra, just the offering was, deities were open and the plate was put there. That's before the practice of covering with the cloth was there. So Prabhupada was there and the plate came in. It wasn't offered and Prabhupada said, give me some of those sweets. He was stealing from Krishna. Not for you, not for me. Prabhupada can do that. So, Krishna's very attractive. Krishna's prasadam is very attractive, right? That's a major preaching tool, Krishna prasadam. As Srila Prabhupada once said, as he was among several of his disciples, that you all came because of prasadam. Spiritual food. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that he took, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he took some prasad, and he said, well, of course, one thing that, coming from the Western countries in the 1960s and 70s, and no one had tasted or even imagined that such things as chapatis, puris, then this sira that you call it, they call halava here, and so many things, samosa, laddu, this curry cooked with this vegetables, cooked with spices, and ghee. We're fasting. No one could even imagine that such preparations existed. There's a movie taken a long time ago, long time means maybe 20 years ago, from Australia. There's a demonstration at a devotees' festival in which the public are invited, of how puris are cooked, and there's a picture of a woman. She's going, she can't imagine because it blows up like that, and she's just astonished. So apart from these foods, are common in India, not in the West. But apart from that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he said, we've seen these preparations, we've tasted them, but this which is offered to Jagannath, that is something that's just extremely attractive. What's the difference between this? It's the same thing, it's made out of the same ingredients, the same preparations. What's so attractive about this prasadam of Jagannath? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself described that it's mixed with the nectar from Krishna's lips that makes it so tasty, so transcendentally blissful. Prasadam. So Krishna's eating today. Krishna eats every day. Krishna doesn't observe Ekadashi. If you don't observe Ekadashi, then go to the spiritual world and then you don't have to observe it there. Gopis in Vrindavan, they don't follow Ekadashi. Then, anything else?
How Krishna received reciprocate? What else are reciprocate? What returns are reciprocate for
Krishna? Yeah, how Krishna reciprocates. Right. That's a well-known example. That's a well-known example that Krishna was bleeding, had a finger prick. Was it? Well, that's described that no blood dropped. Krishna arranged that. Because Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna. He thought he could get away with it. He got away with it already, how many times? 99 times? He thought he could get away with it, but he thought that anyway, if he wanted to start a fight, because if any blood falls in that area, then the whole area becomes unfit for sacrifice. It has to be in a pure area. So he thought, I'll insult Krishna, and that will start a fight, and then the whole sacrifice will be spoiled. But Krishna immediately, the Pandavas were, especially Bhima, was ready to turn Shishupal into corned beef or whatever. But Krishna restrained him, and he did it himself with his Sudarshan Chakra and lopped off his head, but no blood spilled. Krishna arranged that. So Krishna's transcendental blood was one time little pinprick, and Draupadi gave little, she tore off from her sari and wrapped it around, just like a mother may do for her child. Although it's described that Draupadi was, she's in like a friendly relationship with Krishna. So, in reciprocation, when Draupadi was in need, Krishna provided her unlimited cloth. When Dushasan attempted to disrobe Draupadi. So, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described, that this is the nature of Krishna. What is that? Krishna Shabhav. His nature, Krishna Shabhav. I can't remember the next time, but they Alpo Seva Bahu Mane Atapajanto Prasad. Krishna Shabhav Bhaktian Aloya Parad. Alpo Seva Bahu Mane Atapajanto Prasad. It's Krishna's nature not to take seriously anything which resembles an offense by his devotees. But if they do a little service, he takes it to be something very great. And in reciprocation, he gives mercy to devotees up to the extent of giving himself. So these are some of the qualities of Krishna. So here, the devotees who are staying here, they must be attracted to the beautiful form of Krishna. Krishna appears very beautifully. Is everyone attracted to the form of Krishna? You'd like to see Govinda, he who gives pleasure to the senses. If we don't take pleasure in seeing the form of Govinda, then we'll desire to indulge our senses in all kinds of nasty things. So we can take pleasure in serving Radha Govinda. Definitely their presence here is overwhelming in a good way, is it not? They're the boss here. I remember this is probably 1975 in the famous old temple in Bury Place in London. That my godbrother Patit Pavan Prabhu said to me, that why is this temple so nice? Everyone's happy here. He said, it's because of the temple president. I thought, yeah, it's a very nice town president. But then he clarified, Radha Landanishwara. He's the actual temple president. Because of them, he's happy. And he makes everyone else happy, and everyone is focused around them. So he's all attractive. So we can, at least I can feel here, even after being here a few days, how he attracts everyone around him. So everyone, especially devotees who are living here, they feel attracted to serve him. They're all together in serving him, isn't it? What do you all think? All of you who are living here, serving here. What do you think? You feel that? You're all pulled together to serve Radha Govinda. Isn't it? Their presence is very powerful here. There. In Bengali, they say that there's some deities, they're alive. Of course, all deities, but some particularly, they reciprocate. Jino. Is that the word for alive? What did you say? Word alive? Jiva. Jiva. Yeah. So the word. The word for being alive in Polski is jiva. Sounds like Sanskrit, doesn't it? Bengali also, jivanto. So he's reciprocating with the devotees. Even the ghosts here know about him. Kalyani Mataji told me that there's ghosts, they don't go in this room, because they said, they told one of the devotees, we don't go in this room because we're afraid of the man and woman in there. They say, we wander everywhere, but we don't come in here. We don't come in that room because we're afraid of that man and woman there. So, anyone else? What attracts you?
Peacocks
here. Peacocks have come all the way from India. Migrating peacocks. They've come here. They want to serve Radha and Govinda. As did we just heard the description that the peacocks at the time of the birth of Krishna, they were calling jubilantly and dancing. So anyone else, what attracts you about Krishna? Krishna's childhood pastimes are particularly charming. Everyone can relish the childhood pastimes. Unless one's a demon, but everyone can relish. Otherwise, Krishna's pastimes with his gopis, they are relishable, but not everyone can understand or relate to them. And Krishna's pastimes as Partha Sarathi, often people can't understand. Why did Krishna induce Arjuna to fight? And why did he why was Krishna telling, he told Arjuna, Yudhishthira to lie? He got all the sons of this Dhritarashtra killed, with the exception of one, actually. One stayed alive. That, what was his name? Yuyodhan? No, Yuyutsu, the Vaishya, born of a not Gandhari's son. So, some people, they can't relate to that very well. And then in Dwaraka, he married 16,108 wives, so not everyone can relate to all these things, but his childhood pastimes are very charming. Not that we should think that they're better, those rascals, what is that, Brahma Kumari, they say that, well, Krishna was good when he was young, but when he grew up, he wasn't so good. So next time he'll come around and next time he'll be all good. They're nonsense people. But his childhood pastimes, and especially charming is in his childhood pastimes, is that Krishna, he appears to be subordinate to his devotees, and he plays in many ways like an ordinary child. We hear about Mother Yashoda, she gets exasperated with Krishna, that she's doing... You can't. Why does he do these things? It doesn't make any sense. Yashoda has the best milk in the whole of Vrindavan, which means the best milk in the universe, and she makes from that yogurt and butter and ghee and buttermilk and all kinds of things and sweets. She has her own breast milk to feed him also, and she cooks all kinds of nice things, and Radha cooks all kinds of nice things. But still, he goes and steals from other people's houses. Why does he do that? And then sometimes he eats dirt. Why does he do that? It's just exasperating why he should behave like that. So like any other naughty boy, no mother can understand. Why does he behave in such a contrary way? So he's just in many ways like an ordinary boy. Very naughty. And then when he is... caught and chastised, he'll smile very nicely, as if he's innocent. Ah, I'm just a little boy. What do I know? And then his mother can't do anything to him. She can't chastise him because she's melted by seeing his false innocence. So in that way, we find that many people, they like to worship the baby Krishna. Especially women, they feel motherly affection toward Krishna. Because he's just like a little boy, except that he is the essence of all charmingness. His pastimes are so sweet. His activities are so sweet. His face is so sweet. Everything. Madhuradhipater akilam madhuram. He's the very Lord of sweetness, and everything about him is sweet. Even gamanam madhuram, damanam madhuram. His walking is very sweet, and his chastising others, that's also very sweet. It's not that only his childhood pastimes are sweet, everything is sweet. Shrishti madhura, his creation is very sweet. Everything about him is very sweet. What else? Anyone? Yes, please.
How our philosophy, Srila Prabhupada the Acharya, presented such a beautiful poetic way. How they write
the poetry of the Bhagavatam, the poetry of the Acharyas, how they're describing Krishna. Saraswati is inspiring them to write in beautiful poetic ways about Krishna. So that you also find very attractive, is it? Anything in particular that you can think of?
Is it verse in the fourth chapter? It says, just as the moon appears to tremble, and it's reflected on the water.
When the moon appears to tremble when it's reflected on water. So in the same way, the living entity appears to be involved in doing activities, although he's aloof from all these things. So that really strikes you, that particular description.
Manifestation of the material world is not considered false.
The manifestation of the material world is not considered false. Yeah, there are many, many wonderful things. Let me see if I can find. In this Kunti prayers. Oh, I don't know where exactly that is. Oh, no. No, it's in the... No, there's in the second chapter there is. And... Yeah. Here's a very poetically stated section from Srila Prabhupada's writing. From chapter one, canto 1, chapter 8, text 42, at the end of the purport, this one of Kunti's prayers that we just read, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the supersoul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service." Inspired writing. There's so many. Even the way Srila Prabhupada, as I was saying, the way he translates it, it could be translated in a very literal or dry way, but I'll read this next verse also. I'll read it again to exemplify your point. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna. Well, let's read the Sanskrit also, because if you hear the Sanskrit, the very sound of it is very nice. There's alliteration, which makes it sound very nice. Do you teach that in music? You don't teach singing? No. Singing the words of the song. That's in every language, I guess, but in Sanskrit especially lends itself to alliteration. Alliteration means the same sound is repeated. It sounds very nice. Shri Krishna, Krishna Saka, Vrishni Vrishabhavani Drug, Rajanya Vangsha Dahan Anapavarga Virya, Govinda, Godvija, Surati, Haravatara, Yogeshwara Akhila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste. Sounds very nice, doesn't it? Translation. O Krishna, and Prabhupada's translation is also very poetic. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief among the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So that's very beautiful. One Srila Prabhupada commented, he quoted one verse, and he said, just by hearing it, it's so nice. Just the sound of it, even if you don't understand what it is. That verse is, let's see if I can remember it, Samashrita ye padda pallava plavang mahat padang punya yashomarare bhavamba de vatsa padang parang padang 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 yadvi padang natesham. That's highly alliteracized. So it's very, just to hear it is very nice, isn't it? What do you think? Bhagavatam is Krishna. So, you were going to. Krishna gave for us so many spiritual masters.
Like you, example.
Like someone. Yeah. All glory. You wanted to say something? Your attraction? No. Yeah? Yeah.
Krishna's name.
Any other vibration, the vibration of Krishna, Hare Krishna. That also we hear that Radha, before she had met Krishna, she thought, I'm in a very bad position because I'm attracted to three different people. I heard this sound, Krishna, and I'm very attracted to the person, whoever's got that name. Then, what else was it? I saw a picture and I'm very attracted to the person who has that form. And I heard the sound of the flute and whoever's playing that flute, I'm very attracted to that. So I'm attracted to three different people. And what a situation I'm in. But then she found out it's all the same person. So, anything else? There's lots more, lots more. There's no end to it. But we're supposed to go out soon, I'm told.
I was just thinking that I've never been so attracted to Krishna's babyhood. It's something that I've had to work on.
You had to work on being attracted to Krishna's babyhood.
Yeah. But what I do like is Krishna's relationship as he becomes older, the way he deals with people. People who are unkind to him, his enemies, he's always very, he's like an elegant dancer, the way he weaves around them, he's never offensive.
Krishna's never offensive to those those who don't like him. Well, there is one I can think of, the Kala, the Yavana. He sent a message to him that you're just like a frog, and there's a black snake called Krishna who's going to swallow you up. So there are some examples where Rukmi, Krishna gave him a punk hairstyle. as that was considered insulting. Nowadays he could win a fashion show. And Balaram came up and said, hey, you shouldn't do that. Balaram chastised him. But which ones were you thinking about?
But even those situations, Krishna is always very, there's no sort of anger.
He doesn't lose his cool, right?
And very, yeah. Detached in a way.
With the demon, but with Bhishma, he did lose his cool.
Yeah,
with his devotee. He lost it altogether. He attacked him. He attacked him to kill him. What about with Jarasandha when he went with Bhima and Arjuna and they were all dressed up as Brahmins? And he said, Jarasandha said, okay, what do you want? You want something from me? And Krishna said, well, actually, we're not Brahmins. Jarasandha said, I thought you didn't look like Brahmins. But this is Bhim, and this is Arjuna, and this is your, I am your old enemy, Krishna. So he very politely said, and we'd like to fight to the death. Very politely said. Very civilized. Krishna. And when before he would fight in Vrindavan, the demons would come, and he knew that all the devotees were going to be watching him, especially the gopis, so he'd make sure he tied up his sash nicely, looked very nice, then he would fight. He liked to look nice when he's fighting also. With Kaliya, yeah. He didn't kill Kaliya.
Trying to kill him so many times with all his hooks, and Krishna was still just dancing on him.
Completely unfazed, right? So, hey, this is fun dancing. It's see, there are all the heads are bobbing up and down. It's quite a challenge to dance. It's not like an ordinary dancing surface. And called all the gopis also. They had a Ras Leela on Kaliya's head. It's not stated in the Bhagavatam. Not everything's there. So they're all dancing round and round. Kaliya got a lot of mercy, huh? Lot of mercy. The yogis, they have to go through so many lifetimes, and even then, that, what is that? That stated that, what is that verse? Pantastu koti shadavatsara sambragamya vayora tabi manasomani pungavanam sopyasti yat prabhadisinya vinchintya tatvai govindamadi purushantamaham bhajami. The yogis in many, many lives, they're going through difficult austerities and controlling their breath and so many things, hoping to get a glimpse of the lotus feet of Krishna, but they can't because he's beyond their conception. But Kaliya, he was just the opposite. He wasn't like a yogi. He was a rascal. He was spoiling the whole situation in Vrindavan. But Krishna, why? Why was Krishna like, he didn't kill him like so many other demons? That's Krishna. He can do what he likes. Krishna instead thought, well, let's have some fun. And actually, other demons also, like Putana, after killing her, he took her body as a playground, and then the Aghasura, that big snake body was there, and all the cowherd boys used it like you have here, the swings and the things for all the children to play on, so they played in his dead body as a playground. No imaginary snake, no plastic snake. He had a real dead snake, massive snake to play with. Yeah. Right, his wives saved him. They were great devotees. So there you go. All you, all the women who are complaining their husband's no good, you can think, well, it's your duty to deliver him. You be a devotee and deliver him, like the Yajnapatnis and the Nagapatnis. You can ask Krishna that, yeah, my husband's no good, but anyway, please deliver him. Then, you're going to say something?
No, I was going to make that point that he was saved because they begged for him.
Yeah.
Because they said, we're going to be in trouble if he dies, so please don't kill him.
Yeah. Anyway, he's a snake. What do you expect? You know, snake? What do you. Snakes are in modes of passion and ignorance. And Kali himself prayed like that afterward. So then Krishna sent him off to Fiji. He's still living there in Fiji. You know that? Kaliya lives in Fiji. You know about that? In Fiji, they all say that there's some area in the jungle that no one can go. There's a snake living there. So don't go there. No one goes there. So that's, there's some whole, what they call mythology about it. That's Kaliya. So that's why Prabhupada in Fiji, he installed the deity Krishna Kaliya. The only place he installed. Krishna dancing on Kaliya. So, I was told by Gopalacharya Prabhu that I should finish here at 10:30. And then everyone has to get out to the other side and go off for Harinam Sankirtan, those who are going. I'm also going, but I have to go a little late because I have something to do here also. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.